Our next guest, chief reporter at the Age newspaper and author of A Lockdown, which focused on Victoria's experiences during COVID, Chip LeGrand. Good morning.
G'day, Tom.
Well, why is WorkSafe effectively said nothing to see here? What's gone wrong?
Well, WorkSafe thinks there's plenty to see here, but they've lost their case. And the reason that's happened, there was a ruling by the county court judge, Andrew Palmer, who was overseeing this case against the health department. And the ruling was that they couldn't use all the witness statements that they were going to rely on that had been given to the code inquiry, which Ulysses remember was the big inquiry that the government established into the failings of household quarantine. They couldn't use the statements that were provided that inquiry. They hadn't done the work to basically build a case outside what that inquiry had learned, and the whole thing collapsed. And so really it's a pretty significant cock up. And it's the fault for this lies somewhere between WorkSafe Victoria, the Office of Public Prosecutions, but it just seems such a fittingly shambolic end, given everything that we know about what went on with in the hotel quarantine program.
But my understanding is that WorkSafe has coercive and investigative powers. I mean, there was nothing stopping them, even if they couldn't use the testimony from the coat inquiry. They could have interviewed all those same people, got their own testimony and used that instead.
So it didn't even get to that point. So I was talking to one of the witnesses from the health department who was due to appear at the inquiry this morning, and they explained to me that other than right at the start of this thing, like a couple of years ago, when they first sat down with WorkSafe investigator and said, oh, we just want to use your material that you provided to the inquiry, you know, to sign off on that, that's fine. At no point did they sit down with investigator from WorkSafe or anyone from the Office of Public Prosecutions to say, well, would you be willing to give any other information to us? Is there anything else you want to say? Can we do our own statements on this? There was no attempt at all to build a case beyond what had been given to the code inquiry when it came to these witnesses.
And then the judge in question turned around and said, well, you haven't got any evidence because you, A, can't use that evidence because it's already appeared in an inquiry, and B, you haven't gone and got any of your own evidence. So essentially that's the end of the investigation.
Yeah, well, as far as the evidence from the health department. So it sounds like very kind of legally technical, but the best way to understand this, though, is we think back to whether it's the code inquiry or you think to royal commissions, right? There's a reason why if you appear before a royal commission as a witness, whatever you tell the royal commission, or in this case a board of inquiry, that can't be used against you in another proceeding, including another criminal proceeding. And there's a reason for that, because these royal commissions are set up, they're basically fact-finding missions. We're trying to get to the bottom of what's happened. So they want witnesses to be candid. They can't get on the stand and refuse to answer questions. They have to answer questions. So this is the trade-off. You've got to be honest with you, but then what you tell us, we're not going to use that as evidence against you in a criminal proceeding. So this shouldn't have surprised anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, the gobsmacking aspect of this is that here we are, well, basically 3.5 years after this investigation began, and something that should have been really predictable has now unravelled this whole investigation.
But again, just so we're clear, you're saying A, WorkSafe should have known that it couldn't use that evidence which had already been gathered by the Coat Commission, but B, there was nothing stopping WorkSafe going and interviewing a lot of the same people and gathering its own evidence.
Correct. And it's not just WorkSafe, because the Office of Public Prosecutions, they reviewed the evidence in this case. They signed off on it. They agreed it was strong enough to run. They're the prosecuting authority. And they're the experts in the law.
So they stuffed up too.
Absolutely. They should have absolutely seen this problem.
Okay. Well, this sounds like, as you say, the blame is somewhere between the public prosecutor and WorkSafe. Do you think that the word came down from on high to not go too hard on this, to stuff it up, and therefore everything is swept under the carpet, and because it's now so long ago, we can't ever investigate it again? I mean, do you sense a whiff of cover up here?
No, not at that sort of institutional level. You'd want to have pretty strong evidence before you are making that suggestion. I do think, though, that the problem with our whole COVID experience, there's such a fatigue that people just don't really want to go back and revisit. So I'd be really surprised if there's much of a public outcry about this. I think people have just, they decided that the pandemic, for the most part, was this pretty awful thing that happened, and it screwed around with a whole bunch of people's lives, and there's not a great appetite to go back and really revisit, even learning the lessons from it. I think that's a problem, because there are certainly things that we could learn from this, from these mistakes. They're relevant now. The way Victoria was so poorly set up from a sort of a in terms of its health resources to protect against an outbreak. The failings in hotel quarantine really reflect much bigger failings in the health system and a lack of investment in preventative health over many decades.
Okay, so in summary, both the hotel quarantine program and the investigation into it is a cock-up rather than a cover-up.
Yes, yeah, and the infuriating thing is it comes down to this kind of finger-pointing. Remember with the code inquiry, you had the different departments that were sort of blaming one another. You had ministers that seemed to be unaware what their own departments were doing. No one seemed to be willing to ask hard questions of the Premier's own department, who, of course, have oversight over pretty much anything that happens in politics in Victoria. So, look, it was a pretty unedifying spectacle, the whole thing.
Look, thank you so much for your time. You know a lot more about this than what I do. Chip LeGrand there, chief reporter at The Age and author of Lockdown, which focused on our state's experience during the COVID years.